beside you, I would have you open them to the book of 2 Timothy, and I'd have them you to open them to chapter 2, and I'm going to be preaching through verses 1 through 7, 2 Timothy and chapter 2.
So if you would get there as quick as you can, and as you get there, I cannot see you. I was simply teasing you this morning, telling you that God give me a supernatural power that I could see you where you was at. I don't think many of you believe that. So I cannot see you, but I would ask you to stand in honor and reverence for the reading of God's holy, inspired, infallible word. And I'm going to begin to read from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 through 7. It says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these two faithful men who will be able to teach others also." He goes on to say, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Verse 5 says, "And also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." Father, I ask that you bless the preaching of your word here this evening. I ask it in the name above all names, the powerful name of your Son, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people, as they were seated, said, amen and amen. Now, this is the year 2020, and in November, we'll cast our ballots for a new president. And I have learned in all the presidential elections, one of the things that people consider very important on who they're going to put their name beside is a president who wants and to keep the United States military strong. They want to know which president is concerned about having strong military. And so this year, 2020, an election year, many will be concerned which presidential nominee will be most concerned or more concerned, or if you will, very concerned about keeping our military strong. And so as people cast their ballot this year on which president will keep our military strong, that is a concern of mine. I believe America needs a strong military. But I'm not so much concerned about the Army and the United States military as I am concerned about the Army of God and the soldiers of the cross. Now, we was at the Cross on the Prairie, and one of the attractions, and because of the rain, many of you didn't get to go down and see it, but there is the attraction of the Christian soldier. Of course, he's got on the whole armor of God, and he has got a shield of faith, and there's all kinds of darts that has hit it from the serpent, from the devil. And so, as I looked at that, I wanted to preach this sermon out there beside that attraction today. The weather didn't allow us, but I'm still going to get to preach the message, Soldiers of the Cross. I don't know if our president that will be elected in November is going to be concerned about our United States military and having good soldiers, but listen, I know not just a king, but I know the King of Kings is looking for those that will be all they can be for the cross. I know he's looking for a few good men to serve him, a few good women to serve him as soldiers of the cross. So let's look into 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, for a short message tonight on being a soldier of the cross. Our text says we must be enlisted, and this speaks of our salvation. Look at verse 4. It says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Listen to this. That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now I want you to stop. I want you to look at your Bible. And I want you to know that him is not capitalized. When it says that he may please him, most of us would think that him is capitalized, meaning that's the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. We need to remember this is a letter that is written to Timothy from the Apostle Paul, and he's saying that you may please him, speaking of Paul, who enlisted him as a soldier. Now, I want to point out to you clearly that Paul was the recruiting officer, but Timothy was a soldier in God's army. Every one of us, when we get enlisted, can probably look to the recruiting officer, whether that be a family member or a friend or a preacher that would had a major role in recruiting us. But we need to understand what verse 3 says and what army you're in. If you look back at verse 3, it says, you, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of, not Paul, not Paul's army, not the American army, not a Baptist army, not a Methodist army, not a Pentecostal army, but it says you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This is the Lord's army. I'm talking about being a soldier of the old rugged cross. I love Ezekiel 37 when Ezekiel was told to go into this field full of dry bones and he was told to prophesy to these dry bones. Man, it must have been as awkward as preaching into a camera, or, if you will, more awkward to preach to a bunch of dry bones. And Ezekiel began to preach to these dry bones and prophesy the word of God. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel 37, they begin to rattle. They begin to shake, and God put breath into them. And in Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 10, it says these bones begin to live, and they begin to stand, and it said it was an exceedingly great army. We need to understand where we're at before Jesus Christ comes into our life. We're dead in our sins and trespasses, and there's been a recruiting officer of some sort share the word of God, and it brings life into us, and then we are raised up as a soldier of the cross, and we need to understand it is the Lord's army. So, listen to me, we all need to be recruiting officers, but we need to understand it's through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we can be enlisted into not a denominational army, but as a soldier of the cross. And hear me out this evening, when it comes to the Lord's army, there will never, ever, write it down big, plain, and straight, be a draft. You will be asked, you will be recruited, but it's up to you if you enlist by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and joining the army of God. It's important that we always, always, as recruiters, let them know it's all about Jesus. D.L. Moody was getting his hair cut one time, and the barbershop pointed out the street and said, there's one of your converts. And he was drunk as Cooter Brown walking down the street. And D.L. Moody said to the barber, that's the problem. He's one of my converts and not one of Jesus's. I always used to get tickled at Teddy Ridenhour when I would ask him to give his testimony. He would stand up and say, Rob saved me. And I want to clear that up for everybody when I got up behind him and said, I didn't save him. I just told him about a man that would save him, and that was Jesus Christ. Probably to help Teddy out, Teddy could better understand in this message, I just happened to be the recruiting officer when Jesus enlisted Teddy Ridenhour as a soldier of the cross. I hope that's a twofold message tonight. All of us who are saved need to be recruiting officers, and we need to let them know that they are enlisting in God's army and they are to be a soldier of the cross. So first of all, in our text, we must be enlisted, and that speaks of our salvation. But secondly, this evening, if we're going to be a soldier of the cross, our text says we must be engaged, and that speaks of our service. Now look at verse 4. It says, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life." Now Paul goes on to use three illustrations for our service, or if you will, our faithfulness to the Lord. Number one, he uses the soldier. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who's enlisted as a soldier. Now, when soldiers and they join the armed forces, they engage in service. They go to basic training and they go through that. And if they continue as an armed force, as a soldier in the United States Army, it's not long when they begin to find out what specialty they're going to be, whatever that may be in the Army. All kinds of flying planes, jumping out of planes, on the front lines, all kinds of medical field, all kinds. But guess what? When you're in the Army, you must be engaged and you must do your part. And then he says in verse 5, "And if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." We need to understand, in sports, we are engaged. If you're one of those folks that don't show up to practice, you don't learn the playbook, and you don't engage in the game, then you'll be sitting on the bench, or if you will, sitting in the crowd. And so Paul, he uses the illustration not only as soldiers are engaged in what they do, they carry out their gift, their talent in the Army, and we also know that in the sports world, the athletes compete to a set of rules, and they all are engaged playing their particular position. But then Paul not only uses the soldier and the athlete, he goes on and says the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crop. Let me tell you something about a farmer. He is engaged. He has to work those fields. He has to plow that ground, and then he has to put the seed in, and then he waits, and then he's the first one because he's been engaged. What does he get to do? He gets to partake of those first fruits. So when I say our text says we must be engaged, this speaks of our service. If you're a soldier in the United States or any military, you are engaged. You are doing your part. If you are on a sporting team, you know the rules and you are engaged doing your part. If you are a farmer, you know to get to partake of the crops, you must be engaged and have your hands to the plow and your nose to the grind. And in verse 7, what does Paul say to Timothy? "Consider what I say to you, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." We need to understand what Paul is telling Timothy. If we ever going to be difference makers, if we're ever going to be soldiers of the cross, we've got to be engaged. And so we need to understand that the problem in the church is there's a way too many AWOL. And when you look up AWOL, that's absence without official leave. In other words, when we gather and we have our outreaches and we gather and we have opportunities to serve, there's many that are absent without official leave. They're just missing. They're AWOL. Don't think it's important. In other words, they're not engaged. They're not serving. And Paul is telling young Timothy, if you're a soldier and you're a good one, you're engaged. If you're an athlete and you're a good one, you're engaged. If you're a farmer and you're a good one, you are engaged. And we must understand, if we're going to be a Christian soldier, a soldier of the cross, we must be engaged. Could I just encourage you? Maybe you're watching live stream tonight. Maybe you've not been part of a local church. Maybe the Lord spoke to you through these holy scriptures and now the Holy Spirit is saying to you, that's me. I'm AWOL. I'm absent without official leave. And I hope and pray that when the churches begin to gather again physically, that you will put yourself in one of these body of believers and you will get engaged and you will be a soldier of the cross and you will serve Him in a local body called the church. So number one, our text says something about being enlisted. That speaks of our salvation. It speaks of being engaged, and that speaks of our service. But thirdly, if we're going to be a soldier of the cross, our text says we must endure, and that speaks of our steadfastness. It says in verse 3, you therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, the one that wrote this letter to young Timothy knew something about the hardships of being a Christian soldier. He had been in shipwreck after shipwreck. He had been stoned. He had been snake bit. But I'm telling you, he was steadfast and he was engaged in his service to the Lord. And that was the Apostle Paul. I've said it before and I will continue to say it. We must understand that the Christian life is not played out on the playground, but the Christian life is fought out on the battleground. We must understand when Paul gives the illustration of athletes, we're not talking about being in the backyard playing flag or touch football. I mean, I want you to know we're coming up against the devil and he hits hard and he don't play fair. I'm not talking about flag football and touch football. I'm talking about hard hitting football. I'm not talking about little touch and go here and there. I'm going to tell you something. The soldiers are out there in a real battle, and I'm going to tell you athletes are out there, and he uses the farmer as an illustration, and I'm going to tell you, farmers know farmers. They may enjoy it, but it's not a playground. It is a place of work. Therefore, we must put on the whole armor of God if we're going to be steadfast and we're going to endure the hardship of a good soldier. And I tell you, we need to hear the word endure, because we are told in the book of Hebrews, as we look to Jesus, the author and finish of our faith, who endured the cross and despised the shame, before that, it says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Another statement that you've heard myself and many preachers say from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the Christian race is not a sprint, but it's a marathon, so we must have some endurance. And I tell you, sometimes it's not easy to endure some of the things that we have to endure here while in the battle. Fay O'Dell, he's an ex-Marine, and the story he tells, it just leaves your mouth drop open in awe. It was a true story. They was marching behind their commanding officer in a battle. The commanding officer stepped on a landmine. And as he stepped on the landmine, it exploded. The dust, the smoke, it filled the air. All the soldiers that was following the commanding officer knew that when the dust settled and the smoke cleared, they would probably find their commanding officer laying dead. But when the dust settled and the smoke cleared, to their surprise, their commanding officer was alive but not well, but still marching. What they see odd then, they seen their commanding officer, after stepping on the landmine, it blew his legs off, both of them, just above his knees. But when the smoke and dust cleared, the commanding officer was still marching toward the enemy on two bloody stubs. Now listen to me, dear friends. If you was behind that commanding officer, that would encourage you to keep on keeping on marching toward the enemy. And I want you to know that the devil put everything against Jesus Christ that he could. He didn't only set a landmine up there, but he tried with death to stop him. But after he died, he was buried, and 3 days later, let me tell you, Jesus was still marching on. And I want everybody that's listening to me tonight to know that the world's blowing up around around us. I mean, all kinds of things. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and we could think of 1,000 reasons, my dear friends, to not be steadfast and movable and to always abound in the work of the Lord. I mean, right now, we could go stick our heads in the sand like an ostrich. We could go lock ourselves up, and we could just try to endure till the end, till that eastern sky splits and Jesus comes again. But my dear friends, that's not the marching orders from headquarters. The marching orders from headquarters is for you and I to keep on going to a lost and dying world and to keep on recruiting for God's army. And no matter how much stuff blows up in this world, we're to keep on keeping on marching for the cause of Christ. And so tonight, I didn't get to preach it at the attraction. Out at the cross on the prairie, the Christian soldier. But I did get to come in and stand behind this pulpit and encourage everybody that's listening to me via live stream. God is looking for a few good men. He's looking for those that can be all that they can be, not for the Army of the United States, but in His army. Enlisted, saved, engaged, serving, enduring, and being steadfast. Man, I shared this. Trenton shared it with the 12 and 20. And I would hope and I would pray that this would be the attitude of every Christian soldier, of every soldier of the cross at Exciting Southeast and others around us. He sent this to our 12 and 20 group, and I've hung on to it. We're to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, and that should have us doing whatever, whenever our part is. And here's the attitude that we should have as a soldier of the cross, as a Christian soldier. It says, if I can't shoot, I'll load. If I can't load, I'll carry ammo. If I can't carry ammo, I'll help the wounded. If I cannot help the wounded, I'll give blood. If I cannot give blood, I'm probably dead. Strip my body of what you need and keep fighting. That ought to be the attitude of every one of us who are born again, children of God, and have enlisted in the army of God. We ought to have an attitude of whatever we can do, we need to do. And even when we die, strip our bodies of what we need and encourage those that we've left behind, keep on fighting. Amen. If you're listening out there this evening, the main thing I want to hit, I want to serve as a recruiting officer this evening. I want to tell you that God's looking for a few good men. I want to tell you God's looking for those that's willing to be all that they can be for the cross of Christ. I want to tell you God's looking for those that will trust in His Son Jesus Christ, who one day left heaven, came to earth, one day died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and on the third day rose again. God's looking for those people who have yet not enlisted in His army. And He chooses to stand me before this camera tonight as the recruiting officer to encourage you, enlist. The draft will never be enforced. If you want to join God's army, it'll be by your choice. Is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart this evening? Are you ready to enlist in God's army? Are you ready to escape hell, make heaven, and have a new commanding officer by the name of Jesus Christ in your life? If so, if you'll bow your head, if you'll close your eyes, I've said it time and time again on these live stream services. I just want you to know right now, if God's Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart, and this evening's the evening, tonight's the night that you want to enlist. God's chose Rob Pierce via live stream church service to be the recruiting officer. He's told you that you're lost, that you've sinned, and the wages of sin is death. And that's eternal separation from God. But if you don't want to spend eternity in hell, you can enlist in God's army. You can have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it's just a prayer away. It's not putting your name on a dotted line. It's about praying with all of your heart, with all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your being. And the prayer that you're going to pray will not save you. But the person in whom you pray it to, he will save you. If that's you, wherever you're at this evening, you can just simply say, "Dear Jesus, I know I need to enlist in your army. I know I've sinned. I know I've done wrong. I know the wages of that sin is death, meaning eternal separation from you in a place called hell. And so tonight, Lord Jesus, the best I know how, I want to enlist. I want to be saved. I want my sins to be forgiven. So Jesus, I'm telling you, I believe in you with all my heart, who you are, the Son of God. I believe in you, all that you've done. Died on the cross, was buried, and on the third day rose again. And tonight, believing that with my heart, I'm confessing that with my mouth, and I'm calling upon you, Lord Jesus, to forgive and save me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me." Now, if you prayed that prayer, I just want to look into that camera and I just want to tell you something. If you prayed that prayer, the prayer didn't save you. The prayer didn't enlist you. But Jesus, in whom you prayed it to, he wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. He enlisted you. But after being enlisted, you need to engage. That means you need to get to basic training. Instead of getting a flat top haircut, we just want to baptize you. Then we want to grow you in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to get you in a Sunday school class. We want to get you under the preaching and teaching of God's holy, inspired, infallible Word. So if you enlisted, we want to encourage you, get engaged. And I wish I could tell you it's going to be easy, but it's not no sprint, it's a marathon. And we must endure hardship as a good soldier. But I can tell you, it'll be worth it. So with all that being said, exciting Southeast, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's looking for a few good men. He's looking for those that can be all that they can be, not for the United States Army, but for his army. So I encourage you, Christians, you've been enlisted. You need to get engaged, and you need to endure, speaking of your steadfastness. If you've taken your hands off the plow, your nose off the grind, it's time to get your hands back on the plow. Get your nose on the grind. Before we close here this evening, I